Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's snow. It's Christmas 2.0. On Friday.
Hello! How are you? Yes, I am very well, thank you. I am very, very well. I miss you so much. But I am all right.
Special guests for you in today's show. Dora Dale and Martin Kellner coming up in a bit. In the meantime, ever heard of Rumble? No, not as in Let's Get Ready To, not as in Ant and Dec in their curtainy bangs helicoptering their arms in the 90s. No, Rumble is a YouTube contender. You know, it's like Vimeo. And it's the only place currently seemingly allowing Rudy Giuliani to post his little vloggy podcasty things. You know, like when he does a beauty haul or, you know, maybe he's doing the latest TikTok dances. Anyway, he's got a thing. It's a podcast, apparently. It's called Rudy Giuliani's Common Sense. And to save you from doing it, I am one of the 160,000 people who bothered to watch his latest video. For context numbers wise, I guess I'm nearly as famous as Rudy Giuliani, if you consider that my Radio 4 in 4 minutes piece has 140,000 views. That only took me 8 years. Anyway, Rude is quite the orator. I get it now. How compelling is this?
Aside from the president's right to communicate with his people, what about the people's right to know? I mean, 85 million people follow the president. 85 million people basically are registering a vote that they'd like to know what he says, for better or worse, whether they agree with it or not, whether it's helpful or harmful. That right to know is an extremely important part of the First Amendment, as well as the right to inform. Well, both have been cut off by wealthy, super wealthy, entitled, I don't know what they are.
Answer, not at all compelling. More thrillingly, though, this was what absolutely got to me in this podcasty vlog thing. He's doing his own adverts. Do you find anything weird about hearing the former United States president's legal counsel doing this?
Now would be a good time to take a short break. If you want a good cigar, go to a good cigar shop. You want the best, go to Famous Smoke Shop. Let Famous Smoke deliver your favorite cigars right to your doorstep at America's lowest prices. Famous opened in 1939 as a small shop in New York City. Today, it's the largest privately held American-owned cigar business in the country. That's 80 years experience in the cigar business, and they're putting that experience to work for you, making deals on the cigars you love, from affordable everyday smokes to high-end luxury cigars for your next special occasion. Go to famous-smoke.com/Rudy and click the activate button to apply the promo code. Pick from more than 1,000 cigar brands, fresh and ready to ship from Famous Smoke's climate-controlled 24,000 square foot humidor. Check out with the promo code RUDY20. That's Rudy, R-U-D-Y, 20, and get $20 off your order. Every cigar purchase you make is backed by the Famous Freshness Guarantee. Get real cigars from a real cigar shop. Ship direct to you from Famous Smoke Shop. Go to famous-smoke.com/Rudy. That's famous-smoke.com/Rudy. Thank you for returning.
Oh, Rudy. How could I not have? Boris Johnson apparently does not take naps during the day, okay? That's not true. Allegra Stratton. those reports are untrue. The Prime Minister does not have an app. This was reported in the Times on Tuesday, apparently. It would not be entirely uncommon in the diary for him to shut the door and have a kip for half an hour or so, a power executive business nap to get him ready for the rest of the day, the newspaper quoted one Downing Street insider as saying. Ms. Stratton said, no gap, no nap gap. His day is jam-packed from morning till evening. Why? He's building that orphanage at night. I mean, this just proves he does have a nap, doesn't it? It's like, I remember once seeing a cop interviewed, an American cop, and he said whenever he stops someone and searches them, he can always tell if who's got stuff on them, because he'd do this. He'd say, you got anything on you? You got any weapons I need to know about? Any drugs or anything? Any werewolves? Any guns? Anything? And he always knew that if you didn't have anything on you, you go, wait, what? Werewolves? Or like he just throws something really random, ice cream, whatever. Whereas the guilty people would just go, nothing like that. And they wouldn't kind of query the weird bit or see it as a joke or anything. He was like, then I know they've got something. That whole, no naps, of course no naps. He's completely rammed. I'm guessing he probably has naps. That's what I was... And I'm relieved to hear that. What is this stupid machismo about? Like, it's insane to think that having a nap makes you infallible in some way. It's quite the opposite. I would be hugely relieved to learn that the Prime Minister was getting all the rest he needs so that he can make good, rational decisions. Dear God. Anyway, Christmas 2.0 on Friday. We're going to be celebrating. I've got a song, I think, maybe. I don't know. What would Christmas be without, snow? That was fun. But also Dora Dale, a little old lady, synonymous with Christmas to anyone who listens to an unhealthy amount of Radio 4 Extra. I did a show, basically, with Martin Kellner. And they trot it out every year, which is the best thing, where we play some Christmas music and talk about it. I'm pleased to say Martin Kellner was available, as was Dora Dale, to talk about getting a vaccination. And here they are.
Martin Kellner's Kiss.
I'm coming off the back of a jingle. I'll come off the back of the jingle.
You come off the back of the jingle.
That's it. You've got it.
So come off the back then.
I will. Here we go. Yeah, let's do it. Here we go.
Let's do it.
So, Dora, these are strange times for everybody. From your point of view, being vulnerable, yes. You know, an age to be vulnerable,
yep.
You've already been injected. At least you've had your first shot.
I went and saw Dr. Duku, and he gave me a jab.
Yes.
Which is more or less the same thing. Punctured me, shot the fluid inside. It's all over very quickly.
Yes. And do you have to go again for a second dose?
Yes. He's asked me to go back tomorrow.
Right.
And he's bringing us friends round for that one.
Good.
So I'm looking forward to it enormously. And let me just, all these people who say, you know, there's computer chips inside it and all the rest of it. I'll tell you right now, it's just a viscous white fluid.
Yeah.
In it goes, down the hatch. Job done. It's no bother. And that's why, I I've sort of retired. But I've come back because I want to say to my generation and the rubbish ones that you must get yourself injected as soon as you can. Get it in you.
Yeah.
Wherever, in the arm or the...
Yes. Well, it's important, isn't it? And
so important, yeah.
So important. I did see Yes. I did see people of your generation, if I can say
the
that, Dora.
One. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Those people being or coming out of the place where
that's
they'd been injected and everything.
Wiping their face.
Yes. I didn't see you on the TV, though, Dora. I mean, I was looking out for you because a lot of old people.
Well, Dr. Duku explained that, you know, lots of sort of temporary sites are being set up. Like in football stadiums and you know, Wimpy's and things like that. And he had a mobile thing to do it, which is the back of a Ford Transit van.
Right.
So I sort of climbed in and it's very dark.
Yeah, but wherever. I mean, it's important, isn't it?
Whether it doesn't matter. If you don't like needles, which I don't,
no.
You can take it orally,
yes.
As I did.
Mm. Well, that's good. That's good that that's happening. And I mean, you're no stranger, are you, Dora, to pandemics, if you like. Pandemics, because if you look, and I'd invite people to do this, go into IMDb. It was a cheap British horror film. I think they used to call them quickies in those days, quota quickies.
Yes, I did a lot of those.
Yes, and you were in this, Panic in Paddington, I think it was called, and it was visitors, like a sort of War of the Worlds thing, visitors from another planet.
That's
and
right.
They'd infected the human race, and it had, was affecting the whole of London. There was a big panic,
yeah.
And you were credited in the cast as a woman in Back of Taxi, wasn't it? I think
that's right. Woman on floor of Back of Taxi. So I wasn't, strictly speaking, I wasn't really on screen.
No.
But do you remember lovely Jim Dale?
Jim Dale, yes. He's in a lot of those movies.
There's a shot in Panic in Paddington where he looks so surprised, so startled. And I like to think that he wouldn't quite have got to that if I hadn't been on the floor of the back of the cab that he was sitting in.
Yeah.
Really.
It's a movie that, I mean, I know you did a few of those. Quickies, yeah, in that era. Mm. And they were black and white films largely, made in, what, 2-3 days, I think,
hours,
on that one?
2 or 3 hours.
2 or 3 hours, was it? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we were really cranking. We would crank out, you know, as many films as the leading man could manage in a day.
Yeah,
It was all done in not quite Ealing.
No, outside Ealing.
Outside Ealing, we did outside Ealing comedies. We did Acton comedies.
Yes,
and we would, you know, the chap would shout action, and off we'd go. I mean, you call them horror. I like to think they were rather romantic.
Yes. Well, I guess horror was probably not the right word I was looking for.
Well, some of it was. I mean, there was one where a guy got his head stuck.
Yes.
And, you know, explain that away at Ealing General Hospital.
Right. And they sound,
they saw everything, though. You know, Ealing Hospitals. The number of times Alec Guinness was in there.
Yes.
Which, again, I take credit for.
Mm. Well, there were great days, weren't they? Great days for...
Well, not for Alec. I mean,
not for him, obviously.
In the end, he had to have a splint.
Really?
They used a lolly stick and a couple of rubber bands.
Yeah. But, you know, a trooper. Whatever you say about Alec Guinness, a trooper. And James Mason as well, I think, was a young James
Very
Mason.
Very young James Mason. He was 7, but exactly. Incredibly precocious, if you know what I mean. And this is before he went to Hollywood, of course. And
he had a big Hollywood career.
He was huge in Hollywood, like the hugest, rumour had it.
Fantastic.
Really
and
huge.
Yeah.
He was so huge.
Yes. When, as far as those films are concerned, and certainly that one, Panic in Paddington, it was, in a way, it showed tremendous foresight, because in those days, you would laugh about it. You know, you wouldn't even think such a thing existed.
No.
But in that film, it did, didn't it?
No, I mean, I'm very proud of my record when it comes to viruses. There are very few that have invaded my system.
No.
Unlike the British men's hockey team.
Yes.
But, you know, this is one of those things that we knew this was going to happen.
Mm.
It had to happen, and now it's happening, and we need to deal with it. And that's something James Mason said to me once.
Yes.
And we dealt with it. But, I mean, he was huge then.
Yes, he was, wasn't he?
Gorgeous, and great, irresponsible. Yes.
Mm. It's because people do compare what's going on now to wartime, and you know there's a lot of when the politicians make the speeches, a lot of references to, you know, we got through it, we can get through it again.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that it's not a good comparison,
no.
Because in the war, I could barely walk.
Mm.
You know, because of the bombing, you couldn't get down a street.
That's true.
There's mounds of rubble everywhere. So, you know, it was very different, I think, the war.
Yes, different times, really, different times.
Different times, but wonderful days for the camaraderie.
Mm.
We would all huddle down in the shelters together.
That's true.
And sometimes it was very cold, and we huddled.
It was important to keep
together.
Warm. Yeah,
for warmth.
Yes.
And
well,
try to keep each other warm.
Yeah. Well, and quite right too. These days, of course, yes, we can't do so much huddling together for warmth. Dora, I'm so glad you've. Yes, I'm so glad
I'm so glad.
I am, that you've been injected.
Thank you. And it's happening tomorrow.
And the next again day, tomorrow, yeah.
Yeah,
really. I think only two, I think. But
he's filming it on Thursday.
Right. But obviously not for television.
I think he said it's educational.
Mm. Well, Dora, it's been a pleasure to talk to you, and I'm so pleased that you've had your injection, and B, that you're coping with the isolation and all that, and with everything that's connected with it. So, Dora, it's been a pleasure to talk to you remotely.
Yeah, thank you very much. And apparently Thursdays might be an inoculation.
Right.
The left eye, he said, if he holds his breath. Bye-bye.
Martin Kellner's Kiths.
Just before we go, I'm going to squeeze one email out. It's nottoday@swanburst.com if you'd like to get in touch about almost anything at all. Last week, I was talking about the annoying bag. It's important to get the emphasis right on that, isn't it? This is the idea of sort of emergency tidying up and decluttering, where you just grab a bag, fill it with everything you can see that annoys you, and throw it away, literally, on the spot, whatever's inside it. Neil looks like he's had a go at it. Hi, Jake, and the yapple abilities. I tried the annoying bag today. I went round the entire house picking up my life's detritus. Scratched CDs, a decapitated Star Wars figure, green bread, and the usual dropping. Human or animal is unknown at this time. It'll be human, Neil. It's always human. It was only when I was taking it out of the bin that I heard the muffled screams from within. Still, I thought, no going back now, eh? On the subject of rubbish, you've been talking about what we thought was rubbish, but we now have decided is good. But I've got a crossover for you with a Behind the Curve. That's another thing we're talking about. Things that you've only just got to that everyone else has known about for years and years and years. Is that possible? Says Neil. I thought the BBC detective series Death in Paradise would be rubbish. Detective series are usually for daytime viewing, aren't they? For the elderly, frail or comatose. But I've been binging a few, and I've come to realise how good it is. In fact, it's so sunny, it's the only vitamin D I'm getting at the moment. I also didn't realise it was a sci-fi until the main policeman regenerated into a different person. Does he do this in every series? Hang on a minute. Another thing I thought was rubbish until recently, sit-down weeing. You can get so much done during one. Oh, I've been sit-down weeing since I was about six. Because I did not enjoy standing at the urinal at school. It was a bullying thing. I basically just do sit-down wees, in all honesty. If I'm drunk and I'm feeling, you know, particularly full of swagger, which is a terrible thing to do when you're trying to urinate standing up. Anyway, you can brush your teeth, says Neil, watch the news, even write this email. Oh, Neil, I need to wash my hands now. I'm planning on doing some brickwork soon, so I'll need something more mobile. Is it possible to get a commode up scaffolding? Scaffolding makes a perfect commode. You can just stuff the... Anyway, cheers, Neil. Thanks very much. I hope I'll see you tomorrow. There's lots of fun stuff to come this week. Stay tuned. I'm very busy, but I've always got time for you. You're like everything. Okay, bye.
This has been a Swanburst Media production.